Hello, caller. You're on the air, WRFR.
Good morning, Ron. This is Dean Brown.
All right, Mr. Brown. This is Dean Brown from our correspondent from Maine State Prison. Hey, Dean, if you called earlier in the week, I wasn't around and didn't get your call.
Okie dokie.
All right. Well, so what's going on?
There's some improvements. It's kind of bizarre.
And do you think those improvements are as a result of the public spotlight being focused on you, thanks to the news articles?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. They don't do anything they don't have to do. As a bureaucracy, it seems like, you know, it's all fun and games until somebody puts their foot down and they says, this has to happen this way this time. And then they change it a little bit begrudgingly. But there do appear to be some significant changes onto the Supermax, which is a real plus. I was recently speaking with a couple of different guards that work out there, and they're telling me that, you know, there's all kinds of meetings. I mean, there's no real significant amount of change, but the wheels are certainly in motion. There's, as the commissioner had, or excuse me, as Lance Tapley had stated in his article, Pressure Rising, in the Portland Phoenix last March 24th, it came out.
Uh-huh.
The commissioner had asked his staff to submit plans by a date certain for proposed changes, et cetera, et cetera. And I've spoken with substance abuse and mental health personnel who are over there, like pretty much for the first time as far as, you know, being considered a constructive member of any type of programming. They're working on what kind of programming there will be over there, and which, you know, it's the infancy stage, but...
But it's something that, are you saying then that that perhaps all this suffering you went through for those 6 months was not in vain?
Oh, I'm praying. I'm hoping. I've had a lot of people, prisoners and staff, tell me that I was doing a good thing, that, you know, it was stupid as far as, you know, dying for somebody or, you know, getting real sick or anything, but that I really made my point and, you know, I should stop taking my meds and et cetera, et cetera. I'm still holding out for the toothbrushes for the stats and the max.
And can you remind our listeners what exactly that issue is?
Well, I was put out in Supermax for having contraband, which was a minor write-up. The process was abused so badly, they ended up dropping the charges against me. The captain that wrote the charges had a problem with that and had me put back out there 6 weeks later for the same stuff, but he falsified paperwork to do it. So I ended up spending 7 months out there, and I'm going to lose every tooth in my head because of the conditions and the rules that you can't have toothbrushes out there on one side, on Bravo's side, but because one inmate sometime in the past made a weapon out of one and hurt somebody. There may have been a couple other isolated incidents, but instead of using a common sense approach and dealing with the prisoners who act up like that and give them a little doggy toothbrush, they just make a flat-out policy. Anybody that gets put over there for any reason, even if you may say you cigarette, they'll put you out there. And you can't brush your teeth. I mean, that's just totally ludicrous.
So are they using this sort of collective punishment? You know, they think then sort of the rest of the guys there will pressure people to not stab other folks with toothbrushes?
Yeah, peer pressure. It's mass punishment, and it's illegal. But they do it in the hopes that the prisoners will come down on another prisoner so they don't talk to the prisoner. It's like with the vending machines. You get in the medium custody unit, 64 inmates, 56 in the close custody unit. In each pod, if one prisoner goes up and breaks a vending machine because he don't have any money or whatever, and he steals some stuff out of it, the whole pod gets punished because they take away the vending machines and there's no way to get coffee or whatever snacks you get to supplement the prison food, which we all know isn't always the best. But it's designed correctly. I mean, it's careless, it's wanton. It's like, we're not going to police those machines. We're just going to punish everyone here. You deal with it.
Now, maybe I'm wrong here, but isn't life inside the prison the one where there are surveillance cameras everywhere?
Exactly. Exactly, and this, and I'm sitting like, this one's on the ceiling, but as the crow flies, for me to be right under it, it's about 20 feet away, and it has remarkable capabilities. I've looked through the control room windows and seen the camera, and I've seen them zoom in on the prisoner's identification card or a newspaper on the table, and you can read it clear as day, as if you were looking at a microfiche. But yeah, they could, and they could install a camera in each pod that specifically watches it and say, okay, we'll just rewind the tape every so often and look at it and see if anybody tipped the machine or smashed it or anything, and proceed from there. But the attitude is, you know, if they had their way, we wouldn't even have these machines. Time would be more draconian. The mentality here is on punishment, that, you know, that the most significant thing about incarceration, right? Is to punish. It's prison, don't you understand? Well, excuse me, I still have constitutional rights. Yeah, but it's just prison. You shouldn't be able to do this. You shouldn't be able to use the phone. Lucky you got a stamp. Okay, you can take that approach. Just tell me before you put me in here what I'm facing for my criminal activity, and I'll decide what kind of criminal I'll be when you let me out, because there's nothing productive to be gained. When you're sitting in here, okay, first of all, you do not know how to coexist by society's rules. This is acceptable, that's not. And in many cases, we knew what was unacceptable, and we still chose to do it anyway. That behavior, or that thought process, needs to be corrected. Hence, Department of Corrections. But prisoners in here aren't being taught that. They're being taught how to survive in this system. How to get over. How does the facility, the staff, the whole system in here, they operate in a way that's quite similar to a criminal organization. I mean, the rules only apply when you decide that they apply. They only apply to the people to whom you have decided that they shall apply. Everything is subjective. I mean, you can do what you want as long as you're in authority. And if a man is standing in somebody's house or business with a loaded gun, I guess he's in authority. He can do what he wants. You can get away with it if you're in a position to make sure that you can get away with it.
So that's not exactly what the corrections facilities ought to be teaching then.
Oh, hell no. I mean, you're learning to play their game, their way, in their house. It's not doing a damn bit of good for when you're on society. This should be a stricter version of society. This is society. It's still society. You're a part of society, but this is the part of it you're in. And it's not a very nice part. And you're going to suffer for your errant deeds, but you're not going to be degraded, dehumanized, demoralized, and then thrown back out in the heat and said, hey, see you as soon as you get back, because we know you're coming back. There are a few success stories where people have had the fortitude mentally to overcome that and get out and stay out. I think many of those people are the people that weren't really living criminal lives. They were just, you know, spur of the moment type of thing, and then said, oh, geez, I don't need this that bad. That was a mistake. And no matter how bad it is, they're not going to do it again, but they're still scarred by the process. It's still going to affect their ability to function in society. But for those of us who never really spent much time in society or never really lived by society's rules when we did live in society, it's a nightmare. It's like, you know, there's no correction. It needs to be seriously addressed.
Now, we're talking with Dean Brown, prisoner number 4059 in Maine State Prison. And, Dean, we're going to take a short music break. When we come back, let's talk about what improvements you think, you know, if this legislature may be getting too late in the game for, but perhaps the next legislature ought to address. Tell me something, though, you know, about, we were talking during the break there about music and the way that the system controls what music you can get. And can you explain that a bit?
Well, anything that a prisoner can buy is purchased through the state. And the state puts a 20% tax on everything for prisoners. And Pine State Vending Company out of Augusta, I believe, they handle the food and beverages that we can get. And they have their own markup, and the state marks it up as well, I believe. Prices.